Hello, I'm Jennifer Neville with this week's Middle East report. Coming up, the release of 20 hostages is an historic day for Israel. Remembering the families of the hostages, largest number of Christians at Feast of Tabernacles. The war in Gaza has come to an end with Hamas releasing Israeli hostages and the first stage of a withdrawal of the Israeli army from Gaza, in context of a wider regional agreement following on the heels of President Trump's visit to Israel. With more, here is news correspondent Kent Allen.
The release of the Israeli hostages held by Hamas in Gaza and the address by President Trump to the Parliament of Israel this week were some of the most extraordinary scenes in the history of modern Israel. Last week, following a verbal declaration that an agreement brokered by America had been reached between Hamas and Israel to end the war in Gaza, the Israeli cabinet discussed the issue throughout the night and then voted to approve it. The following day, a formal ceasefire was declared as the Israeli army withdrew from almost all the occupied urban areas in the Gaza Strip. According to the agreement, Hamas was given 3 days to release all the living Israeli hostages and to hand over the bodies of Israelis held in Gaza. The handover literally began about 4 hours before the deadline. Hamas handed over 20 Israeli men who had been held captive for the 2 years of the war. But instead of handing over 28 bodies at the deadline, Hamas handed over the bodies of only 4 Israelis out of the 28 who were deceased. Following the release of the living Israeli hostages, Israel released about 2,000 Palestinian prisoners and detainees from Israeli jails as part of the agreement. Following the release of the living hostages, President Trump was warmly received as he addressed the Parliament of Israel. Following Mr. Trump's brief visit to Israel, on the same day, he flew to Egypt to attend the so-called 2025 Gaza Peace Summit, attended by leaders from around the world, but the principal signatories were the United States, Egypt, Qatar, and Turkey. This is Kent Allen reporting from Jerusalem.
In other news, as the 20 Israeli hostages have been released now and reunited with their families, Paul Calvert spoke earlier to Ilana Heidemann from For Israel Forever Foundation and began by asking her what it was like for the mothers of the hostages.
You're a mother. How will the families of these hostages be feeling, do you think?
So I think the mothers, and we are hearing their cries, and we are seeing the father of Bar Hooperstein, whose father learned to walk and talk again, so that he would be able to stand and welcome his son from captivity, and his survivor grandparents who were there to welcome him, Bar Cooperstein. And so you have these incredible family stories. And as I said, the uniqueness of our Jewish people is that we do feel each other as extended family. Mothers, I saw also, were remaking their beds. They had not touched the bedroom of their child in 2 years. But upon their welcome, they went and they changed the sheets. So there's a lot of symbolism also in the way that these families are receiving home their captives back to freedom. It's really a powerful thing. The siblings and the children, the two young children of Omri Miran, who, you know, they grew up not knowing their father. And there's another captive who's only meeting his son for the first time. So the role of the mother was carried also through the strength of the community that built themselves up for her and with her to help keep her strong so that she could stand there today, every single one of these mothers, and welcome her son home.
There is great joy. We've seen Hostage Square where they're celebrating, but there's also great sadness as well because not everybody's coming home alive. Have you received any dead hostages yet? And are we still waiting for them to be released?
At the moment, we're looking at very few, 4, maybe 6, 8. We don't know. But while some would claim, and Hamas is attempting to blame Israel for this, that it's because of the bombing that they are unable to retrieve the remains of the deceased. Unfortunately, we also know it's a ploy, yet another psychological tactic. And the four nations are going to be coming together to send units with bulldozers to try and recover all of the remains. It basically excuses Hamas from the responsibility. And Hamas has already started to dominate the streets of Gaza. And they have started to execute individuals who they believe were collaborating with Israel. They are abusing people openly in the streets, and they continue to use the children as their human shields. So we don't know about the bodies of the deceased. And this is a real concern for every single one of us. Many have already started taking down their flags and not wearing their pins. But this means that there are 24 hostages remains still in Gaza as of right now. Could be that more will be discovered in the coming days.
How are the hostages that have been released? Are some of them in bad condition?
Yes, obviously they have been force-fed, and we know this already from reports that have come in, that since this process began in the recent days to a week, they have been force-feeding many of the hostages to make them look healthier. But we know that their trauma and their injuries are not only visible. So we have to be very aware of that. We know that all of the psychological tortures that were put through, Matan Engrist was very, very, his experiences were publicized, and the amount of tortures that he went through, and other survivors who had come out of captivity also shared the tortures they endured. So what we see should not determine how we judge their experience in captivity. They are skeletal. They have lost significant percentage of their body mass. They have also lost, one has lost eyesight in one eye. We don't know about the legs yet of each of them, because that's often in the process of tortures and beating, that is an area that is often used. So we don't know, but we know that each one is being taken care of by the medical care systems of four different hospitals around the country. They are able to be there and be treated not only for immediate rehabilitation, but also for long-term rehabilitation, which is something that is very, very crucial. We are seeing in Israel an increase of suicide amongst those who survived October 7th. And unfortunately, they did not live long enough to see this day, when our hostages would be returned home. And we have to make sure that every single one of these hostages is taken care of, and their families, and the soldiers. We cannot forget the soldiers who made all this possible.
That was Ilana Heidemann. For more details, go to israelforever.org. Finally, last week saw the largest number of Christians in Jerusalem since October the 7th, for the annual Feast of Tabernacles organized by the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem, as we hear from CBN's Julie Stahl.
More than 1,400 Christians from 71 nations are here in Jerusalem for the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem Feast of Tabernacles celebration. Israeli President Isaac Herzog welcomed the crowd and called them a living testament to the words of the prophets.
And I quote, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations shall go up to worship the king and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles."
Each country represented at the feast came forward with its flag in the roll call of the nations. The U.S. has the largest delegation, but other countries whose governments have been standing against Israel also came.
The Norwegian government, as it is today, is very hostile to Israel, and we're very sorry that that's the situation. Israel will be just fine. I'm more worried about Norway. We need to get our values in order and understand why it's important to stand by Israel.
Joanne Lakuta comes from a town near Manchester, UK, where a synagogue was recently attacked on Yom Kippur. Despite the huge pro-Palestinian marches in London, there are many people in the UK who love Israel. She says Christians need to read the Bible to understand God's plan for the Jewish people.
And to see how God called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how he reiterated his promises to Israel all through the Old Testament, all through the prophets, how he reiterated time and time again that Israel, the Jewish people, were his people, his chosen ones, how he had a purpose for them, how he was going to bring them back to the land after they'd been scattered.
Former ICEJ Director Malcolm Heading received the Nehemiah Award for Standing with Israel. He says Israel has been through 2 years of unspeakable war and struggled under world pressure to fight annihilation.
Nevertheless, we have to admit that the miracles that have happened here on behalf of Israel, for her defense and for her survival, in the teeth of overwhelming aggression, are nothing but miraculous. So I see the hand of the God of Israel in the restoration of this people.
Julie Stahl, CBN News, Jerusalem.
We thank God for the release of the hostages, and we pray for their full recovery and for the remaining bodies of the hostages to be released. And we also remember the families of all the hostages at this time. This ends this edition of the Middle East Report. Please join me again next time for the latest news from Israel and the Middle East. For more details, go to onlinemiddleeastreport.com.